All we need is a little understanding. Walk a mile in their shoes. And if we keep our hearts open-minded, we'll enjoy this wild ride called life. And if we keep our hearts open-minded, we'll enjoy this wild ride. This wild ride called life.
Hi, everybody. So special podcast episode today. It's a Saturday, and you know that I do them on Thursdays, but let me just tell you something. The guest that we have on today, he is so freaking busy, and I'm sure some of you who are entrepreneurs, your life is just, it's on, never stopping. It's either kids or the house or your family or your business, and after you hear his story, you will be amazed, because what a journey it has been to get to where he is. And I have to tell you, you're going to have to order his stuff. You're going to have to order his crayons ready to eat. How awesome is that? I'm so excited to talk about it. I was just telling him I wish I would have placed an order, but I'm okay because I can pre-order and then we'll ship out in May. So we've got time, but you need to get on his site because I think they're going to sell out. They look so cool. Look at his little, I have his little logo up here. It's bringing deja vu back to my time in service with my MREs and a little soldier man and the toys and all that stuff. So I'm really excited to have him on today and for him making time to be on here with us. So if you're watching on YouTube, thank you. Thank you. I will put his website up here and in the notes when you go watch it. If you're listening, thank you so much. Make sure you go and follow him. We will talk about all his social media links, but it'll also be in the show notes as well. So let's just do this. Hello, Frank.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. So, Frank, the Crayon Eater King. I freaking love it. But I know that that must have been hard in the beginning because as a Marine, that's not the kind of crap you want to be told.
So, you are correct in that aspect. But, you know, the thing is in the military, we embrace every joke that comes out at us, right?
Right.
So when I got out, or while I was in, well, I was never called a crayon eater. I was the typical jarhead, devil dog, ground pounder, you know, all those things, because I was 95 to 02 in the Marine Corps. I was infantry. But yeah, so, and when this joke came out, I was like, what's up with this crayon eater nonsense? And I embraced it.
I love that you embraced it and you built a business off of it. What the heck? I mean, that is just something that we need to do, right?
Exactly.
So tell me what possessed you, or not what possessed you, well, kind of, what possessed you to join the Marines right after high school? I mean, you were what, 17, 18?
I was, so I literally signed up my junior years, between my junior and summer year. I went into the late entry program. For me, I grew up in the backwoods of Ohio, small town. Literally the population was about 900 folks, farm country, coal mine country, all that. And there wasn't a lot of things that was going on. Plus I didn't have the greatest childhood. You know, I had more support outside the home from my mentors, scouts, school, art and class and everything else, that it just, there wasn't a place for me. And my my mentor Hooter, God rest his soul. He's the one that took me to the Marine Corps recruiter, and not really just the Marine Corps recruiter, but he knew when I was younger, at a younger age, that I wanted to be in the Marines. And he took me there, got everything situated, and helped, you know, make it possible to get with my family to make sure I can be able to join the Marine Corps. And when I got into high school, in my senior year of high school, is when I received a letter from the Pittsburgh Art Institute telling me that I was granted a 4-year scholarship for visual effects and fine arts. I turned it down. Because I had already decided I was going to join the Marine Corps. I had talked with Hooter, and it's like, why stay in the area? I have a chance to see and do things. And I graduated high school June 1st. June 5th, I was at MEPS. June 6th, I was flying on a plane. June 7th, I was on the Yellow Footprints of Parris Island, South Carolina, joining Marine Corps boot camp.
How did that feel at that age? When I was 17 and a half, I had a recruiter at my house. I was about to sign that dotted line, and I chickened out. I wasn't ready to do it. I had to wait till later when I was a little bit more mature. But how was it at your age? How did that feel?
It was something different. It was a culture shock because, like I said, I grew up in the backwoods. And, you know, to go to somewhere where I had cohesion and camaraderie and a structure, something that I kind of really didn't have at home, but I had it to a degree. It was 13 weeks of boot camp. It was, you know, it wasn't too bad. It wasn't too hard. It was rough. It was, like I said, I was in 95. I was in there whenever it was still kind of the old ways and the crucible wasn't a thing. But it was a major pivot of my life. It basically gave me the next step to be able to become a man.
I commend you for that. I think it's so amazing. I've met so many people that joined right out of high school. My husband was one of them. And my father-in-law is a Marine. And that's one thing we have to say, you guys. Once a Marine, always a Marine. So it's not I was a Marine, it's I am a Marine. So I learned that quick.
That is true.
But I love that sense of pride, you know, because for Army, I was a soldier. I am a soldier. So it's just, you know, something about the Marines is just so amazing. And I just love that. I commend you for joining so early and for making it through. And so you stayed in for about 7.5 years.
Yes.
Okay. So what made you get out at that point?
Well, I got out December 7th of 2002. It was right after 9/11. 9/11 had happened. Earlier on in my career, I had already spent 4 months in Kuwait. If you recall, those of us that are around, you know, I'm 45, that were in around that era or that time frame or knew anything, that there was a big ordeal of getting the inspectors over to Saddam Hussein's cache to inspect his nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. I was part of the detail that went over there and escorted the inspectors. Wow. So I'd already spent time there. And when 9/11 happened, I was stationed in North Carolina. And we were literally right down the line of everything that was going on. And I was ready to go. I was ready to do my job that I was trained to do. I'd already spent time over there in a sandbox. And I knew I had, you know, had some experience that some of the other Marines that were in my unit did not. I was always pushing, hard charging, never gave up, never quit, never went to medical or anything. And then one day we're on a 7-mile hump. We were training to get ready to go to Afghanistan. And my body gave out. My back just gave out. I felt complete pain shooting up my back. I kept pushing and eventually I just collapsed. I couldn't feel from my waist down. Found out that I had 2 herniated discs, a pinched nerve, both hip displacements and a radial tear. And it was like, I had 2 small kids. So instead of fighting the system, I chose to take an early out with an honorable discharge. And there were some certain situations that occurred that caused me to have an RE of 4, which never gave me the chance to reenlist. And I got out so I can be there for my kids, because I was in a process of already having a failed marriage. And it was just for the best interest of my kids.
I can understand that. So how did that make you feel? I mean, I know you chose to get out for your kids and not fight the system, but not a lot of people do that. They're just like, no, I'm staying in no matter, you know. How did that make you feel?
It was heart-wrenching, because while I was out, I was sitting there, and the media is basically what caused a lot of the problems we have with some of our service members and everything, that they televised. They were there televising a lot of those ordeals, and it was unnecessary, because those of us like me that were just getting out, I'm sitting there on the edge of my seat, you know, wishing I was there. I wish I was able to do something. But due to the circumstances and do everything else, I had to, you know, I had to make the right choice to get out. And it was a struggle, you know, transitioning, you know, trying to, you know, dealing with a failed marriage, fighting for custody of my kids, you know, trying to get a job to maintain, to take care of, you know, take care of them, a roof, pay the bills. Cause I had the military, you know, company cover the bills. I had a job. I had, you know, was able to, you know, had food on the table and everything. And now I'm here getting ready to be a single dad, you know, fighting for custody and everything, and itching to, you know, to be over there to, you know, be with those that are over there fighting. It was a struggle.
And so how long did you have from the time you were getting out? How did I rephrase this? I just lost my train of thought. How long did you have to transition?
Not long at all. It literally, back then, TAPS class was just go to this, check this, sit in a freaking Liberty class, check it off, go turn your gear in, check this, and gone. Get out. There was no real, I was there 7.5 years. You know what I mean? It's the majority of my adult, you know, my beginning of my adult life, and it made me and part of the man who I am. And to just be able to switch that off, you can't. Still to this day, I still have a lot of those traits that while I was in that carry with me, and yeah, you can't just turn it off.
I'm glad that you said that, because not a lot of people realize that transition period, whether I only got 6 months, I say only because I didn't think it was fair since I was retiring. Everyone else got a year. I got 6 months, but that TAPS class was what, a week? And yep, they were trying to throw all these things at you. Here, copy these 20 websites. Maybe they can get you information. And this is how you should dress. And this is how you should do your resume. But nobody talks about the mental health aspect, yep, of being fully prepared. So if you could go back and change something about that TAPS class, what would you change?
They need to have, and I've not done this and I've not, you know, gotten into this, but they need to have some kind of psychology classes or something to help, you know, understand, you know, what we've been put through, what we've done, and get a full grasp of what civilian life is. Because those of us like me that, you know, yeah, I was working since I was a kid, you know, 12, 13 years old, and then finally got a paying job at 14, you know, cutting grass when younger and shoveling snow and things of that nature. And then going through and then joining in the military, you have no clue about financial responsibilities. You have no clue about, you know, the things that you need to do to maintain, you know, your bills, your finances, taking care of aspects, you know, health insurance, things of that nature. You have none of these ideas. And I'm going to say something that probably people are going to be looking at me like, I can't believe you just said that. But if you look at it, the military is the only socialist entity that actually works. Because you have free healthcare, you have a roof over your head, whether you're living in the barracks or you're married or living in a house, they pay you extra money to live out in the house. You want to have food, you've got a chow hall, you can get food and get it taken care of. You're married, you live out in town, you get a per diem to be able to cover that, you know, help assist the cost of that. But where it works compared to other entities is you are being taught skills, things that, you know, a job that need to be done to keep the organization running. You're taught leadership. You're taught, organizational management, things of those things that are need to keep the organization running. You go onto a military base, you have everything you need. Yeah. You have the stores, you have the food, you have the gas stations, you have the clothing, you have everything there that you need. You don't even have to go out on town if you didn't need to. You have the E-clubs, you have the officers' clubs, you have the NCO clubs, you have everything, you have the theaters, you have everything there that you need. And it works. But when you get out, now you're in, you know, you've got to look at it as a capitalist, you know, where you've got to make money to survive. And how do you do that without the proper knowledge or understanding how the civilian world works?
No, absolutely. You're so right. And they don't prepare you for that. So that's why there's so many of us who get out and we feel lost and confused and we don't know how to act in the civilian population and all these things. So how did you get through that transition? Once you were out, that was it. So how did you do that?
I kept a lot of things bottled up inside. I pressed forward. I had my kids. I had to do what I had to do to take care of my kids and provide for them. And at one point I was working two jobs full time. I'd take my kids to daycare in the morning. I'd go to work. I'd pick them up, spend a couple minutes with them, take them to the evening daycare. I'd go to the job. I was also trying to attend school, which that didn't work out too well, you know, late 20s, early 30s, trying to go to school with a bunch of teenagers in high school, you know, right out of high school just does not work. And yeah. And you're sitting there and you have a set mindset. You can't talk to people like you do in the military. You don't have that cohesion like you have in the military. And it's like everybody fending for themselves and nobody there to help each other. It was a matter of looking at my kids and, you know, knowing that I had to provide for them and do the best that I could.
I don't have the words. I can understand that. It's very, very difficult and they don't understand it unless you've been in that situation. Did you come to a point where you just broke?
At one point there was. It was, so I did one of the stupidest things that anybody could really do is in February of 2013, I had no family really back in Ohio. The kids were not able to enjoy their lives. The biological mother was creating them issues and everything else, and they couldn't get involved in things. So I packed up a house to give it back to the bank. I had a 4-bedroom house that I was paying for, you know, like, I think it was like 500 and some bucks a month. And I gave it back to the bank, put everything in storage, packed everything up, sold a lot of things, gathered up $4,000, bought a one-way ticket to California, and packed up our suitcases and landed here in California in Hotel Circle in San Diego with no job, no vehicle, didn't know anybody, had no clue what I was going to do. And I hit the ground running. And I'm here now 9 years later.
Oh, my gosh.
And at the point that I broke... I was working for a company. I went to work, you know, did what I knew. I was working at O'Reilly Auto Parts. And then after O'Reilly Auto Parts, I got tired of, you know, the way the corporate was going and the way they were treating things. And I went and worked for another company and they sent me to Vegas to a World of Concrete, event to learn about a lot of different things. Cause it was a hydraulic hose company. And I got invited to, somebody's hotel room. And whenever I was out on the balcony, I had the thought of, you know, wouldn't it be just easier just to freaking just jump? And I stood there and the only thing I could see is my kids and I backed away. And at that point, ever again, I always told myself, if I'm ever anywhere that there's a balcony or whatever else, I will not go on the balcony. And I pushed forward. I focused on, you know, being there for my kids and, you know, keeping myself occupied and busy between the day job, the companies and everything. And I'm doing pretty good now.
I'm so glad to hear. And thank you for sharing that. I know it's not easy. And to be in that position, I feel that so much. But it's our kids, right? And thank God for our kids. So you did a lot of volunteering for your kids, which is so awesome. You help with special projects for, what was it? For
choir, band, yeah. Color guard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I when I grew up in the backwoods of Ohio, it was literally farm country. You made the things that you need. I got involved in wood shop in high school, and that was, you know, I enjoyed making things. And I still to this day have the cutting board that I made in high school in 1994.
Oh my God. That's
so, and I use it still to this day. And then finally, after, you know, just, it was back in 2016 that I was like, you know what? I'm going to start getting back into woodworking. I need something to keep me occupied, keep, you know, as a, something that I enjoy. And I found that it was very therapeutic for me. And that was one of the things that helped me, you know, be able to get past a lot of the things. And it was then in about June in 2017. Well, let me step back. It was about April in 2017 that I decided I'm going to turn this into a business. I quit my job. I cashed out my 401ks. I went and bought a little bit over $3,000 in tools off of Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace, and I launched Kamikaze Woodworks. Now, to do this, it was a passion. It was a joy. And because I was able to get the tools and stuff, and my kids were, you know, involved in these programs, they needed props built. And I knew how to build them. You know, I was able to make them out of wood. And so I started making different props for them. And it was, one, only was good for me, but it also gave me opportunity to be there with my kids and be with them and help them, you know, achieve what they're doing in their programs. And so in June of 2017, the color guard came and asked me if I would build them a fake picture frame, something that they could jump in and out of. So this thing had to be, you know, over 6 foot tall, about 4 foot wide. And I'm like, I'm not going to build this big old fancy picture frame. So I just took a sheet of plywood, cut out the inside, and then I took a outline of a picture frame and just blew it up on multiple sheets, put it on the frame, cut out the edges, you know, nice little decorative design of the edges. And because of my art background, I knew that if I was to use paint, because I glued the paper on, it was not going to, you know, it was going to posture rip the paper. It was not going to work well because it wasn't a canvas thing. Water paints just not always look the same. Markers, they bleed, they run, and whenever they die out, you try to use another one, it's not going to look the same. So I knew that the only option was to use crayons. And whenever I started using the crayons, I switched colors. I put one in my mouth, started nulling on it while I was using the other crayon. And at this time, I really wasn't heavy into social media. I was there trying to get the woodworking going. I started getting involved in the veteran groups and seeing different things. I was there because of my kids. I had to keep an eye on my kids.
Yeah.
You know, as a parent, you know, now we got this another avenue. It's like, okay, I got to see what's going on, what they're doing. So I saw the memes of now all of a sudden us Marines are being called crayon eaters. I saw actual Marines eating crayons in videos. And I'm like, maybe there's something to this crayon eater nonsense now than the fact that I'm here nulling on one. So to give you a little bit of an understanding of, you know, my history of only being a Marine is I built a woodworking company called Kamikaze Woodworks. The day that I was flying to boot camp was June 6th is D-Day.
Oh, yes.
I got out of the Marine Corps on December 7th, which was the bombing of Pearl Harbor.
Okay.
My birthday is on February 23rd, which is the anniversary of the flag raising of Iwo Jima on Mount Suribachi. So there's a lot of history and the dates that I've dealt with in the Marine Corps and everything else. So hence, I created Kamikaze Woodworks. Now, knowing that we embrace the jokes, and I'm seeing this, and I'm like, okay, what, how can I make this joke a reality? There's got to be some way that there's something out there that there's an edible crayon. So I spent rigorous time looking, searching. I really couldn't find an edible crayon. Yes, they say crayons are non-toxic. But if you have kids and you've ever seen a kid eat a crayon, you know how that comes out on the back end. Okay? So, and I'm like, there's got to be something better out there. So I started looking, researching. I found a company in Singapore that said they made chocolate crayons, but they took out the scent and taste of chocolate and sugar to deter children from eating them. And I'm like, no, I want people to eat these things. So when I worked at O'Reilly Auto Parts, at one point I took over as store manager when the outgoing store manager was leaving. And this team member brought in these amazing peanut butter truffles. They were better than any Reese's cup that I'd ever had in my life.
Wow.
At that time, I learned that she had went to school for a few semesters to be a pastry chef. She loved to bake and do things like that. So that was in my mental Rolodex. And those of you that don't know what a Rolodex is, look it up. You will be amazed how we kept track of things. So I finally was in August, end of August, I reached out to her and said, hey, I have this idea. There's this joke of calling us Marines crayon eaters. Look it up. Do a search. Crayon eaters, Marines eating crayons, Marine crayon eaters. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's freaking hilarious. And I was like, I need to see if you can help me try to bring this to life. I want to bring the joke to reality. Have you ever dealt with making chocolate right? She's like, no. I said, you ever made chocolate, you know, that's colored? She was like, yeah, I think. And I'm like, do you think you can be able to make a chocolate that we can actually write in color with? And she said, I will try. Now, give an understanding of her. Her dad is also an Army veteran. He's airborne Army. So she has an understanding of the military. She was raised, you know, well. She's got a phenomenal work ethic. I knew that when I worked with the O'Reilly's and everything else. So when I reached out to Cassandra, I knew that if anybody was going to have the determination to do it, it was her. And she's the only person that I really knew that was possibly capable of doing this. And literally 2 weeks later, she sends me a video of her actually making chocolate right. And this is September 2017. So from September of 17 all the way into the end of August of 2018, we're working, you know, she's got a full-time job. I'm pushing the woodworking business and we're getting together as often as we could. And we come up with a design. We come up with the molds. We came up with getting the color right and get everything situated. And then we had met Raymond Lott, the Marine rapper.
Mm-hmm.
I met him through social media. I made a woodworking project for him. And he invited me to come down to Bunker Labs in San Diego, and where he was the lead for Bunker Labs. And I took him the project, and we were sitting there talking. Me and my son went down because my son was kind of into that music. I really am not a rap guy. I'm a country guy and 80s rock. I can get into his music because it related and it was clean.
Yeah.
So me and my son went down there. We gave him the woodworking project. And then he asked me, he was like, well, I know you got to have something else going on. What else are you doing? I said, I've got this idea of turning the joke of calling us Marines crayon eaters into a reality. He was like, what? And I told him, and he invited me to come down and pitch the business to the rest of the cohort. I had no clue what it was. I didn't know what a pitch was. I'm like, what am I doing? I've got no clue. I got nothing. I got no website. I got no social media. I got nothing. So literally on like September 10th of 2018, put up a website, put together social media. I didn't even have a package idea that I was looking at. I just created a freaking design. And if you look way back in the beginning of our social media, the very first post is like the package, what it looked like. And I hurried up and got them wrapped up in wax paper, in Ziploc bags, went down there to this thing and talked to them. by the time we were done with that ordeal, we had, and our social media only had like seven people following it, seven or 11 people following it. That was me, my kids, her family, you know, her boyfriend and everything else. And was like, okay, here we go. By the time I left there, we had almost 200 followers on our social media, on Instagram alone. And it was like, okay, they like it. They enjoy it. We've already tried it ourselves and our family. Now we've got eight other people here that are saying this is a good thing. And it just, it went from there. And we, next thing you know, we're like, we're getting into a couple events. We got into Clever Talk. I met Stephen Coons, a bunch of other people, met Flossie Hall. And we're going through this and we're getting situated. We're like, okay, we're gonna ship these. Well, if you don't have anything to know about food, if you don't have the proper certifications, the proper health permits, the proper licensing, the proper packaging, everything else, you can't ship your product. And literally, we were in a week in, and we had sold about 100 and some pouches, 100 and some packs of crayons. And at that time, we had five. And also, we get a call from the county of San Diego telling us that we need to cease and desist. We need to stop. We're in violation of about eight or so different codes and, you know, requirements and everything else. We almost got fined $10,000.
Oh, jeez.
Luckily, the director was nice and understanding that we were new at this, and she understood our story and gave us a warning. Took down the sales on the website. She walked us through to get our cottage food permit, which allowed me and Cassandra to make them out of my home kitchen.
Mm.
But we could only sell them locally in San Diego. So we're like, all right, here we go. Now we're on the right track. And we knew, you know, from talking with Flossie that she had done it. She helped us, give us some advice and everything. And then we ended up going that route, and we hit about eight to nine events within the military veteran community, and we were taking our product. It was between Bunker Labs, it was between Clever Talks, it was between Irreverent Warriors, and a lot of other different things here in San Diego, and people were enjoying these. We went to a small movie, they were getting ready to start a movie. It was a premiere event. And we were there with the table. People was enjoying them. It was an amazing ordeal. And we're like, here we go. Now we've got the proof of concept. We know people other than ourselves and the people that directly connected with us. We're onto something here. And next thing I know, COVID hits.
Oh.
And I'm noticing, now, mind you, I'm not really don't have time to pay attention to news, TV, watch different things and stuff like that. Not really on social media. I'm posting things and we're keeping, you know, putting things out there. And I'm noticing a decline in my woodworking. It's like, I can't get people to spend money. And, you know, we're only hitting a couple events, and we were like 2020. We were going to get into the farmers markets. We were going to get into the other things and do things that we can start building a much more revenue cash flow here locally and get things set up, try to get everything set up to where we can go down to the family days on MCRD and try to set up a table there and things of that nature. And I'm like, I got bills to pay. So I decided in February of 2020 to start looking for a potential part-time job. And O'Reilly's got wind of it. They called me. They asked me to come back. Next thing I know, 3 weeks later, all of a sudden, COVID is here. We're shut. Everything is like shutting down. Things are going, you know, like, what is happening? We get a letter from the county that, you know, with COVID, we're not issuing any health permits. They're working on the new regulations, what we can do, what we can't do, and this and that. So I focused on and went back to work full time. And we occasionally would post a little bit, you know, let people know that we're still here to stay. We're not going anywhere. And then in February of 21, I actually came down with COVID. And I was out of work for a few weeks. At that time period, an app called Clubhouse came out. And that app got me connected with so many different people. I found out, you know, what it took to take our company from just a small end of it, you know, just a, you know, partnership here locally in San Diego to an LLC. We decided to go LLC, started finding out a lot of information. And the thing was with Clubhouse and a lot of the people that's out there is like, we need to do this. You need to do this. You got to try this. You got to do this. You got to look into this without any guidance of how to do it. Yes, the Google is a great thing. But when you're someone like me that is hands-on and that has always been blue-collar working, making things, building things, working in customer service and stuff like that, to sit down and read things just is not something that works for me. I hardly ever read any books. I'm not one to read books. I've got books people's giving me and stuff like that, but I can't sit in and get focused into them because I can't, I don't learn that way. That's like in high school. I learned with hands-on and a lot of different things. So I took home ec, I took wood shop, I took freaking art classes, you know, it was all hands-on things. But so it was difficult for me to grasp it. And then I met Joey Mack for the Mobile Cigar Lounge. He helped me get situated to get everything for an LLC. I met Rob Garland of Fund the First, which was a brand new launched crowdfunding platform that was different than any other crowdfunding platform out there. They were military and first responder oriented. There was no chance of duplicating a crowdfunding or a business venture because they use ID.me to verify who you are as a veteran, a military or law enforcement and, or spouse and stuff of that nature. So that was a plus. And what set them aside from everybody else is that we did not have to set an end date. Unlike a lot of these places, you got to set an end date. And if you don't get the money that you're asking for, you don't get anything. Everybody's got to get their money back. And there is a potential risk that you got to pay the fees that they use the transaction and stuff like that. So in a way, if you don't get the money, you lose the money, some money. With them, we were able to request funds every 30 days. So we were able to start putting money into the business immediately. And it was like, okay, let's go with that. So February 10th, we launched our crowdfunding campaign. Flossie was on Clubhouse. She heard a lot of these things that were coming in, giving us advice. And she stepped up to offer some assistance. And we brought her on as a member of the team. And she helped us out with marketing research and get us a change of course on our marketing strategy. Because I have no clue when it comes to social media. I just put something up there, post it, take videos of actual people doing things, put it up there and put a little caption, put a bunch of hashtags. And it worked for a little bit. And then we switched our website over from what we had to Shopify. And it was a major game changer. And then I met Warrior Rising. Warrior Rising is a phenomenal organization that they help veterans, understand how to operate your business using what we learned in the military. Operation orders, 5-paragraph orders, terrain maps, things of that nature. And I got involved in their Warrior Academy. They then invited me to what they do is called business showers. The business shower, they send about 10 entrepreneurs to a location and we go up there, we get tons of mentorship from veteran business owners. And everything they gave us a custom 3-piece suits. We got a free MacBook Air laptop. We got either website redesign or social media marketing. And it was just an amazing event. The end of the event, they separated us up into 3 groups and we went and pitched our businesses to the board members of Warrior Rising. I had never pitched. That first pitch, that was just me rambling. But Flossie, you know, helped, you know, prepare me in being able to provide a good pitch deck and go up there and pitch our business. She's helped Cassandra get a lot of things situated and organized with organization stuff and customer service and things of that nature. And then when I went up there and pitched this, I was not expecting to go anywhere. I was like, it's an experience, it's a learning. And next thing I know, I pitch. We go to the evening dinner where they have like a few hundred people and they're doing auctions and things like that to raise funds. And the top winner was going to get a grant for $20,000. The other, and it got narrowed down to three, my bad. So they narrowed us down to three, one from each room. And we went into the final pitch that evening and the top winner got $20,000 grant. It's like, all right, great. You know, if it works, it works. And so we get up there, they call everybody up and then they name the top three. And I was in that top three. I was like, oh, what just happened? I'm like, okay, here we go. So get up there and I do the pitch again to everybody. My pitch literally was seamless. It didn't change except for about 20% of the pitch. I started ad-libbing. I was feeding off the energy of the crowd. I literally had the opportunity to take some of our crayons that we produced, put them on the table for people to try, and we were going at it. And at the end of it, they announced the winner. I did not win. But what Warrior Rising did is for the other two of me and the other gentleman, they issued us a $10,000 grant. So it was a game changer. Now we got the 10,000, we're working on the crowdfunding, and now we're able to start pushing forward and get things situated. And with that money, and we finally ended the crowdfunding in December of last year. And we was like, okay, now we have enough to purchase our packaging. We have enough to purchase our custom molds that we need. And we had found a manufacturer that was willing to work with us. And so we was able to make, you know, a down payment on the manufacturer and get us to what we needed for FDA requirements, FDA labeling, FDA facility, all the certifications to be able to finally ship our product here to the United States.
That is what an incredible story.
Thank you.
And just the journey. I mean, you took something from your kid's school project and made it into reality, but you also were willing to get the mentorship and the guidance to keep, I mean, not a lot of people do that. Entrepreneurship is such a crazy journey. Were there days where you were just like, screw it, I'm not doing it, I can't do it?
I had the days, you know, there's times, and I'm sitting there, I'm to this day, I'm still up, you know, 11, 1 o'clock in the morning doing stuff, answering things, getting on social media, commenting to people, looking up information, everything else. But there are days that it's just like, I'm like, I don't want to do, I'm burned out. But yep. Knowing that because for me, a lot of people say, well, you need a life work balance. Mm. Well, if you're actually going to be successful, you're going to do things, there's no such thing as a work-life balance. And those of, you know, and I'm still at a day job. So if you're at a day job that you're around people 6 to 8 hours a day, you're there more than you are inside your home. And if you don't have a balance to where you're building relationships and you're building friendships at work and enjoying what you're doing, and in the world of entrepreneurship, if you're not enjoying what you're doing, you're not living, because you got to, everything has to be pretty much on the same playing field. Yes, I go out and I do things, but my kids will tell you, I can't go anywhere without talking business. One way, shape, or form, whether it's the woodworking, whether it's the crayons, whether it's somebody else finding out what they're doing and stuff like that. If you're not networking, you're not thriving. The saying that has always been out there, your net worth is your network, is so true. And yeah, I get out and I go to do, you know, go to different events and different concerts, things like that. But you have to meet people. And the only way you're going to do that is if your reflection of what you do is also in every day of what you're doing. So yeah. Your personal and your work life are one and the same, in my opinion.
So during the times that you were burnt out and you didn't know if you wanted to keep doing this, what made you continue to keep doing it?
Knowing that I want to be able to show my kids that if you, with the hard work and determination, and also those that are around me, that you can leave a legacy for your kids and for those around you. And also to show that the American dream that was many years ago is capable and able to be done.
I freaking love that, because that's what I tell people. I want to leave a legacy for my kids. That's exactly, that's pretty much one of the only reasons why I keep doing it. So I love that. What do your kids think about this journey that you're on?
Dad's nuts. Dad's freaking needs to, you know, slow down. Dad needs to freaking, you know, get a life. But I have a life, you know. That's they're like, they can't take me anywhere without me talking business.
How old are they?
My daughter is 24 and my son is 21.
Oh my gosh. You do not look like you have kids that age. I have a 19-year-old son, a 21-year-old daughter.
Oh, I just turned 45. I did start at a young age, which, you know, I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah.
But I've also told my kids, look, I don't want any grandbabies until you're 25 or 30.
Yeah.
I'm like, live your life, enjoy your life, and get yourself situated and know what you want and be able to start building up some financial, you know, stability before you think about having kids. Don't wait till you're now in your 40s to go out and attend and do things.
That is so right. I say the same thing. Get yourself settled first, because it changes everything.
Yeah. And one of the things that I can say I'm grateful for that helps me be able to get out and do other things is not only is the networking events. Find your tribe, find your organization, find what your niche is and what you fit into, and get into that tribe. Go do events, go to network events. But the other one that also helps you out, that gets you to actually experience some life, is I found is an organization called VetTix. VetTix is an organization that they get donors that give tickets to concerts, events, comedy clubs, sporting events, and things like that. Right now, there's very little that's going on, but go on there. You can get up to 40. They use ID.me to verify you, and you can go in and pick a concert locker. I have been the Rascal Flatts. I have been the Bad Company. I have been the Journey, Def Leppard, all these concerts here locally, and Trisha Yearwood, Dolly Parton. And I've been a couple comedy clubs. I've been to took my kids to the Nutcracker, which I've never been to a ballet before, but thanks to the VetTix, I was able to go. And just to go out and see these things in different cultures and stuff like that. And I recently this March 12th, I'm going up to Ramona and they're having a cover band for Bad Company called Good Company. And I'm like, I've already seen Bad Company. Now I like Bad Company. Let's see what Good Company sounds like, you know? So get on the VetTix, go and do things, meet other people while you're there, and network.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I completely forgot about that. Completely. But it's amazing. Yeah, VetTix is amazing. I keep forgetting about that. So yes, we need to
put that out there. Also take a look at Waves of Valor. There's a thing with SeaWorld. You can get 4 free tickets. And I'm not saying, you know, we're doing this to we're dragging on our coattails to get free things and stuff like that. It's just what these organizations are doing to pay it back, or not pay it back, but pay it forward to those of us that went and, you know, did one of the things of volunteering our lives and our time to serve our country. So you're not taking advantage of a system. It's something that they're offering to you.
Absolutely. And
in today's society, you know, we went from getting businesses closing between 5 and 7 p.m. so they can spend time with their families to now they're open 24/7. You get hardly any holidays with your family or whatever else. And it takes sometimes, you know, whenever you have a coupled relationship and or a single relationship, it takes more than one person to be able to help make ends meet. And if there's an organization that's saying, hey, here, we thank you, go ahead and use it. And Waves of Valor, you go on the thing, it's once or twice a year, they give you 4 free tickets to SeaWorld.
That's, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So go out there. I've been able to go to SeaWorld with my kids and take them to do on things and stuff like that. There's amazing opportunities out there. And yes, when I go to those places, I can't not talk business.
That's part of you now, and because you work so hard to get there. So why not? You know?
And it's not hard to spot me because everywhere I go, this is what I wear. I wear OD green. I found out with the moment that I went back to my military roots and got rid of all the branded t-shirts, and I don't mind supporting other organizations. Don't get me wrong. But when you have almost 30 some different t-shirts that you're scrambling through and it's like figuring out what to wear, it makes life so much harder. And then whenever somebody's like, hey, yeah, where'd you get that? I was like, okay, you know, all right. Yeah, this is where I got it, you know, or here's the name of the company. But the moment I started into the crown business and I was like, I'm the face of the company, but it's so much easier to just go in and grab an OD green t-shirt, this shirt to go out and about in, and the same kind of jeans. It shrunk my closet down and made life so much easier.
I wish I could do that. But I did take all my shirts from those that I support and I got it made into a quilt. That way I could keep it with me because I'm not going to wear it.
Smart. There
but I could, yeah, but I can still support them in other ways. So yeah, I think we just need to take advice from you. Just stick to something simple and that's it.
Yep.
What advice would you give to, let's see, someone who wants to join the military at this point in time with everything that's going on?
Join the Air Force.
Keep it simple.
No, I would say figure out what it is you want to do long term. And I know that, you know, we can't predict the future. We can't plan out what the future is going to be because I know all too well, and I'm sure you do, that life throws you curveballs and things change and avenues happen. Look at me. I was going to be in the Marine Corps. I couldn't finish, you know, and continue my career. I got out and then I had to figure out work. And then I was working in corporate America and I started a woodworking business. Now I'm in a chocolate business. You know what I mean? So it throws you curveballs. But in the military, there are so many jobs that you cannot even imagine what is there for you. Go there, figure out, you know, and I'll tell you right now, I know a buddy of mine that he was on the flight line in the military. Do you know when those guys get out, they're not going to be able to work in the towers out in the civilian world because there's certain things that they don't have in their certifications or knowledge to be in the flight towers. They still have to go get education and training. So don't think that a job that you're going to get in the military is going to continue with you when you get out. I was infantry. I had no desire to be a cop. I had no desire to be, I tried the security guard thing. Didn't work out. And, you know, being a hired assassin is not a great thing to actually want to aspire to be. It could get you in a lot of trouble. So you got to look at what's going to benefit you in something that's going to help you get to those next level. Even if it's just learning the knowledge and the camaraderie, the leadership, the management aspect, and things of that, that you can figure out what's going to take you long in life. Don't let the recruiter decide what you're going to join in because they will do that. They have a quota to meet. No, do your own research. We have the power of the interweb. Find out what jobs they offer, what they're getting and be able to get you to do that suits to you. I fell back onto my childhood as working with wood. Now I'm doing woodworking and I'm now doing in chocolate, something that I had no clue of. But the skills that I learned in the military is getting me where I'm at today. And it was something from my childhood that I'm doing that I'm passionate about. So find what's something that's going to relate to you, that you're going to be able to take with you further in life and enjoy the ride. It's an experience. You're going to see things. You're going to meet people. And it's one of those things that you have to just do your research and your due diligence. My personal opinion, everybody should at least do a 4-year term in the military so you can have an understanding of what you're out here living the life that you're living based on what the Constitution says we can do.
That is so true. What great advice. Absolutely agree. So what do you foresee with your business right now, whether it's woodworking or the crayons ready to eat?
So the woodworking is more than likely, I'd like to be able to take it as down to more of a hobby teaching type aspect, to be able to teach others how to do it and keep, for veterans and military and kids, that you can do something and make something, achieve something, and bringing back American quality made products, as well as potentially bringing back in a family heirloom. Yeah. The crayon business, with the crayons and the crayons alone, there's not really further extensions that you can do. But our future goal is to operate into another company capacity with Crayons Ready to Eat underneath of it. And we want to eventually turn into the 1-800 Flowers of the Branch Wars in chocolate treats.
Yes.
So the reason I say that is if you look at the names of our crayons, we started out with five colors. We went with Jarhead Red for the Marines, Squid Blue for the Navy, Dog Face Green for the Army, Flyboy Yellow for the Air Force, Puddle Pirate Orange for the Coast Guard. And thanks to the introduction of the Space Force, we have officially nicknamed the Space Force by introducing Space Cadet White. So,
so good.
Knowing that there's branch wars, like I said, eventually we have other ideas that we want to work on, and with the goals of our manufacturer that they can help us achieve those, to where we can create other chocolate treats that are joke oriented and keeping the jokes alive, as well as we are introducing a coloring book that will be branded. Our first one will be branded within the Crayons Ready to Eat, and then branch into other opportunities for coloring books and things of that nature. So we're gonna, like I said, it's basically that 1-800 Flowers of the Branch Wars and chocolate treats. That's why I say that.
That is so cool, and I love your coloring book idea. I'm already thinking of something that you could do.
Well, we've already gotten many submissions for actual veteran, mill spouse, active duty, dependent artist.
Yeah.
They're going to create the artwork, where the email is going to be going out hopefully within this next week to all those artists, and they're going to get their artwork. One of the things that this coloring book is going to do is, yes, it is going to be a product for us, but knowing my art background from many years ago and knowing the artist today, it's hard for an artist to actually get published.
Yep.
And what we're doing is we're actually getting the artist published in a physical coloring book that has an ISBN number. Yep. And everything to it that they can use for their portfolio and say, hey, I have a published piece of artwork.
That is so awesome. I love it. Absolutely. That's a yes. Yes, yes, yes.
So
now, last piece of advice. What advice would you give to someone who wants to start, who wants to be an entrepreneur, knowing everything that you know now?
I had no clue what I was doing. I got around people that actually understood and knew, that was able to give me advice. Jump in. Try it. Because if you don't try it, you don't know where you're going to go. Failure is not losing. Failure is your first attempt in learning something. And you can have many first attempts in learning something. Keep your eye on the focus on what your goal is. Jump into it. Go after it. And find people that can be able to help you get you to what you don't know. Listen. Open your ears. Shut your mouth sometimes. And listen to your gut.
That's great advice, and that's exactly what you have to do. Apparently, my dog thinks so too. Well, I really appreciate your time. I know you're a very busy man. Good Lord.
It's okay.
So, Yeah, so this is real life, you guys, when you podcast out of your house. So if you hear dogs, don't judge me. That's just what's going to happen. Yep. But thank you so much for your time and for, gosh, just going and doing what you love and creating something out of just a small idea. So I hope this inspires the rest of you. If you want to ever get a hold of him, go to crayonsreadytoeat.com. You can pre-order now, right? And it'll ship out in May?
You can pre-order now. And you can, we will start shipping in May 1st. Now, we also have other things on our website. We have our Crayon Eater t-shirts. So you can wear your Crayon Eater, you know, display that you're a Crayon Eater proudly, which has our mascot, Lance Corporal Crunch, on it, which was drawn by a veteran. We have our Lance Corporal Crunch stickers. We also have certified Crayon Eater decals that you can put on your vehicle and show that you are a certified Crayon Eater. Now, we also have e-gift coins. They're like they're basically a gift card, but we have re-engineered it where it looks like a coin, because in the military we have challenge coins. So we have our e-gift coins that you can purchase to, you know, give to that loved one and, you know, have it emailed to them and get it situated. So we have that on there. We also have our crayons and chill t-shirt on there as well. And, you know, we have, you know, other opportunities to get on there, but sign up for our email list. Get on our email list. We'll keep you informed of what we got going on. We send out a monthly email and follow us on our social media. You can just do a search for Crayons Ready to Eat or type in at Crayons Ready to Eat on pretty much any social media platform, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Hi-Ho, Clapper, all these other entities. We're on Twitter at Crayons_R_E. And, also, if you're a small business and you're looking to put our products into your store, shoot us an email at info@crayonsreadytoeat. We would love to be able to, you know, have our crayons sitting on your shelves for whenever you get somebody to come into the store. And the one thing that I will say is it's not your traditional crayon, folks. We made the design of our crayons purposely in the shape of a triangle with two points on each end for three reasons. We didn't want you to lose your food. It's flat. It's on the surface. It will never roll off. Second off, hands of some of us in the military that we, hands go naturally to a triangle, and children, hand goes to the triangle naturally. We want to be able to make sure you can hold on to it and secure it properly while you're coloring and nibble on the back end. Third of all, most importantly, we want the higher ranking officials to be able to tell the lower ranking officials, as well as parents, to decipher to children, our triangle-shaped crayons are safe to eat, and the round ones are not recommended to eat.
I love how you broke it down like that for us. Thank you.
You got to break it down Barney style.
You have to. It's genius. Do they come in that cool packaging that's in your picture?
So that picture that you have up there in the top corner, they do come in a pouch. Now, if you've heard the name Crayons Ready to Eat, we did model that after the MREs, meals ready to eat. And that simulates the MREs from my era. It's not exactly. We didn't steal their design. We just kind of emulated a little bit. And it is a pouch that is a Ziploc, and it's resealable, but mostly times you will not have to reseal it because it'll probably be all gone by the time you open it.
I love it. That is so cool. Well, thank you again, everybody. I'm going to put all his stuff in the show notes and go find him and get a pre-order in so you can have your own crayons ready to eat. That's such a genius idea. I love it.
Thank you.
Love it. Thank you so much. And we will talk to you soon.
All righty. Have a good one.
You too. Sorry. Just kidding. Technical difficulties. Anyway, all right, we'll talk to you soon.